This is KLLG LP 97.9 FM, Willits, California. I'm Greg Schindel, train singer. We are now boarding the Bipolar Express. All aboard! Chugga, 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 chugga up the hill. Puffin' and a chuggin', you know that engine will reach the summit and go down the other side. Whoopee! What a ride! Clickety-clackety, clickety-clackety-click. Look at the engine, that's a bit of whoop, whoop, whoop. Whoopee! And away we go. We're halfway through this month. Faster. And faster and faster. Time just seems to be whizzing by and turning our dreams and our present moments into like memories. Oh. Ooh. Yeah. You know the years, they fly away with you. Faster and faster and faster as we go. And the years of tears and fears and cheers that follow us all the way. Who can tell if they will lead to a better way? Little by little, an hour a day. Gone with the years that have vanished away. Little by little, an hour a day. Gone with the years that have vanished away. Ah, the love, the love, the love, the love, taken to your heart. Kind of love you knew was true from the very start. Love for years and years and years that time won't wash away. Who can tell if it will lead to a better way? The years, they fly away with you. Faster and faster as we go. And the years and tears, fears and cheers that follow us all the way. Who can tell if they will lead to a better way? Little by little, an hour a day. Gone with the years that have vanished away. Oh, little by little, an hour a day. Gone with the years that have vanished away. Ooh, you know, that actually kind of a spooky song kind of makes me feel happy to be alive right here and now, right here in the studio at KLLG with Mikey. Hi, Mike. Yeah. Hi. Oh, there he is. We're good. Oh. And I still have a few more dreams in my pocket, and I'm having a ball riding with you, the listeners out there, on the BPE KLLG 97.9. You thought I forgot, didn't you, Greg?
Well, I thought you did, Greggy.
Okay, train, back off. This is your hometown radio, by the way, www.kllg.org. If you're interested in a little more than just listening to this. And now, true, you know, as the song says, a lot of me has gone with the years, have vanished away. Bye, Gregory, bye. But I can still sing and play and dance and be thankful. Hey, yes. You know, I love to rise and face that morning sun when it comes shining through the trees. I want to sing, want to dance, want to fall on my knees. I feel those warming rays, they light upon my face. That's as close as I can get to amazing grace. Good morning, good evening, good day, good night. Good morning, good evening, good day, good night. Well, I just turned my back at that warming sun just to watch my shadow move. Makes me think I know how I can finally prove someone really standing here dancing in the light. Turn around to see the face, but woo, that sun is too bright. Hold me closely and gently, draw me to your face. Breathe the breath of life while we embrace. Oh, take us to a place where we can watch the break of day. Sing our songs of love and our hearts will fly away. Oh, good morning, good evening, good day, good night. Good morning, good evening, good day, good night. The color of evening sky, why take your breath away like some unexpected gift just for getting through your day. Hey, when the moon and the evening star, they come shining through the trees, I want to sing, I want to dance, I want to fall on my knees. Whoa, good morning, good evening, good day, good night. Good morning, evening, good day, good night. So I lift my eyes to the night sky and the stars in their array, thrilled to the meteors and their dazzling display. The Big Dipper on my left and Orion to my right. I face the east and greet the dawn as she steals away the night. Hold me closely, gently, draw me to your face. Breathe the breath of life while we embrace, and take us to a place where we can watch the break of day. Sing our songs of love and our hearts will fly their way. Whoa, good morning. Good evening. Good day. Good day. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night to you, too. Oh, sure, great to be alive today, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it great to be... Are you riding in your car at this moment? Or is this one of those evening shows where you're just relaxing and sitting back listening to your favorite hometown radio?
Keep smiling. Keep dancing. Woo! Yeah!
Hey, my brother, my sister, you got your hand on the plow. You're working as hard as you know how. Time get hard? Oh, what do we do now? Times are hard and the children are crying. Your friends are getting old, many are dying. Hard to be here now without hearing the sigh. That's what I like to sing, high and low, loud and soft, fast. slow, oh, oh, oh. And I like to dance up and down, fast and slow, all around and around and around and around. And praise something greater, praise something greater, oh. Praise something greater with my song. Praise something greater, praise something greater with my song. I said, hey, my brother and my sister. Keep singing. Keep dancing. Yes, keep the mood up. That's what it's all about. You know, mood, if you're feeling good, then you're feeling good. Right? Yeah, come on. State of mind sometime. Come on, see that bluebird? Perched upon that tall pine tree. Woo! Singing just for you and me. And she's flying just above the tree, and that makes me makes me wish I were dancing, yeah, dancing in the sunlight, and thinking everything is all right. It's all right. And all my troubles are just buzzards flying way up high, casting shadows in the sunlight. High shadows, shadows,
shadows,
sunlight,
sunlight,
sunlight, sunlight, shadows,
shadows,
shadows, shadows, sunlight, sunlight, shadows in the sunlight. Whoa. Above my head, and I wonder what it is that bluebird said. And the crows are cackling, ah, ah, for a piece of bread, ah, and that makes me, makes me, hey, makes me, that makes me wish I were dancing. Oh. Dancing in the sunlight. I'm thinking everything. Everything is alright. It's alright out there. Yeah. And all my trouble, woo, yours too. This buzzard flying way above. Casting shadows in the sunlight. High shadow. Shadow.
Shadow.
Sunlight.
Sunlight.
Sunlight. Sunlight. Shadow.
Shadow.
Shadow, shadow, sunlight,
sunlight,
sunlight, oh, shadows in the sunlight. Whoa. La 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 walk on shadow. Whoa, 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 whoa. Sunlight, light, 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 light. Shadow, the sunlight. Whoa. There he goes. There goes Gregory. He's up there again. Come on back, Greg. No, I don't want to. Yeah, come on down. Okay, here we go. I'm back. Whew. Hey, we're up and away, singing and dancing and playing and riding on the Bipolar Express. Yes, on KLLGLP. Excuse me, 97.9 FM in Willits, California. Hey, as you know by now, Bipolar Express writers, you know, I'm a MeJ, MeJ, sometimes a DJ, but especially I'm a DJ. If any of you out there have a CD for me to share, some of your original stuff, you know, come by on one of these Wednesdays. Well, that's when when we're doing this show. Right now, are you listening to it? It's live if you're listening to it, because you are. Hey, but come by here on a Wednesday around 1:15 or so and be on the show. Bring me your CD. Bring it in here. It's all about me. Otherwise, it's... Yes. And aside from you, train singer, and all those train songs you know, me. It's me. It's Greg Schindel. And I've written a few songs myself over the years, and I value them very much, especially as my time runs out. That's all I got left. You know, kind of like Forrest Glyer. I got a pocket full of songs, too, but... See, they keep falling out of my pocket or I sit on them. I don't know. But I love to share them, and I'm using this radio show as an opportunity just to do that. Of course, I'd like to form a band again where you would play just me, but we'll see if that happens again, Gregory. So, you know what? Also, playing these songs keeps them alive, and it allows me hours and hours of self-indulgence. I just play in the yard for hours. I love me, Gregory. God, if only anybody else could hear these songs, they'd know you are, yeah, right, a songwriter. One of those guys. Yeah, I'm a songwriter. I don't feel like doing anything to do, but I just want to write. I just want to sing and write and dance and stay out in fantasy, unworldly places. I'm right here right now. In the studio. It's pretty unworldly in here, I'll tell you. So, but one such inspiration, inspiration, there's an elusive spark. And one such inspiration came from reading about California's history. Put this down here. You're gonna put me down? Yes, I'm putting you down, Gregory. Okay. Now, California's history back in the 1846 to 1856, I believe it is. Well, let me look at the book. It says it right here. Yes, this is from a book called Wonder and Curiosity, Hutchings California Magazine, 1856 to 1861. Now, it also talks, this is when it was published, and some of the articles in this magazine were written by folks who were eyewitnessing California as it was back in that particular time, right around the gold rush. And it's fascinating to hear how they viewed the land, how they viewed the trees, how they viewed the Native Americans. And after reading this, I wrote the only protest song I ever wrote. And it's kind of like a protest song written based on just telling what had happened, just remembering or reminding ourselves where what a great country we were and how great we must be now. So what I'd like to do is read some of the passages that directly influenced me and some of the phrases as well for my song, California, The Glory Is Now Over. And people go, gee, Greg, where did that come from? Well, it came from this particular book. And the language, the writing, again, I love this old flowery stuff. But I'm going to do my best to share some of old California history. And it starts off like dropping that on the floor. You know, the first thing that arrested attention after leaving the sandy shores of San Francisco was the flowers. Now, early in May in New England, people hunt for flowers. a bunch of violets or a sprig or two of brilliant color, intermixed with green, is a sufficient trophy of a tramp that chills you, damps your feet, and possibly leaves you with the seed of consumption. Consumption, excuse me. Now, here they have flowers in May, not shy, but rampant, as if nothing else had the right to be. Flowers by the acre. Flowers by the square mile. Flowers as the visible carpet of an immense mountain wall. You can gather them in clumps, a dozen varieties at one pull. You can fill a bushel basket in 5 minutes. You can reap them into mounds. And the colors are as charming as the numbers are profuse. Yellow, purple, violet, pink, and plop and pied are spread around you, now in separate level masses, now two or three, combined in a swelling knoll, now intermixed in gorgeous confusion. Imagine yourself looking across 100 acres of wild meadow, stretching to the base of hills nearly 2,000 feet high. The whole expanse swarming with little straw-colored wild sunflowers, orange poppies, squadrons of purple beauties, battalions of pink, and then the mountain, unbroken by a tree or rock, glowing with the investiture of all these hues softened and kneaded by distance. This is what I saw on the road to San Mateo. The orange and purple seemed to predominate in the mountain robe, but on the lower slopes and reaching midway, its heights was a strange sprinkling of blue, gathered here and there into intenser stripes and running now and then into sharp points, as if over the general basis of purple, orange, and yellow, there had fallen a violet snow, which lay tenderly around the base, but in a few places on the side had been blown into drifts and points. Oh, such flowery language as well, I'd have to say. And yet, the old Californians, 49ers, sigh when you speak in praise of the May luxuriance around the bay. They say that the glory is now over. Ichabod is written on the landscape. They rode the same districts when there were no roads or ranches or fences between San Francisco and San Jose, and when the horses wallowed and galloped through an ocean of floral splendor. The visitor cannot help noticing when he leaves the base of the mountains and comes to the farms how civilization has tamed the land. My, my. And don't forget, these writings come from the 1850s and 1840s. Oh, my. And you are on the Bipolar Express. Now we are riding to another of the subjects that caught my eye. It has to do with the fish, especially the California salmon. Many of the pioneers of California, if they are not already aware of the fact, will be sorry to learn that the salmon fish are fast disappearing from our waters. That is, upon all the streams upon which mining is carried on to any extent. And in fact, we may say from all the streams of importance. This may be attributed to three causes. First, the mining operations by which the water is carried by ditches and flumes for miles out of its channel, and then, when it again finds its natural course, it would be scarcely be true to call such a muddy mass water. This being the case on all the tributaries, the fountain being impure, the whole stream is polluted, and our beautiful and highly palatable fish, scorning to, quote, live, move, and have their being in such an impure element, are seeking other realms where their native element is not made so unpleasant by man's search for gold. How well does the writer remember the good old days of 49, when he wished for no better mirror than the crystal waters of the Rio de los Americanos, or the Mocaleomnes, or the Los Mariposas, and how the pure water sparkled and flashed from the shining sides of the merry fishes as they hurried to their mountain retreats to spend their seasons at the springs, or returned to the busy scenes of their old ocean home, the crowded capital of all fishdom, where stand in all their original splendor the palaces of the real codfish aristocracy. The second cause for the disappearance of the salmon is the navigation of the rivers, which has been shown in their leaving the Hudson, the Connecticut, and other streams of the eastern states, where they were once plentiful, and where the first cause spoken of did not exist. The third cause is the immense destruction of the fish, which has been going on for the last 10 years. Just note the recession. In the year 1849, we had no trouble whatsoever in procuring all the salmon we wished by just constructing a rude barber spear of, you know, this sort of kind, and wade out a few steps and literally pick up all we desired. In 1851, we could observe a great decrease, and since that time the fish have been gradually retreating beyond their pursuing destroyers until, like the poor Indian, they are being driven westward into the sea. But before taking the final plunge, they seem to have turned at bay in one part of the Sacramento River, and here they are eagerly caught. The fish and the salmon of early California back in the 1800s. Why, they were disappearing then, Mike. Whoa. It wasn't catch and release back then. No.
It was catch and fry it up.
Catch and fry it right there. And do it again and again and again, unlimited. Oh, we were a great country back then. Now, the trees was another subject in which I breach in the song California, The Glory Is Now Over. In the spring of 1852, Mr. A.T. Dowd of the Nimrods of Calaveras County was employed by the Union Water Company of Murphy's Camp to supply the workmen engaged in the construction of their canal with fresh meat from the vast quantities of game to be found in that vicinity. Having wounded a large bear while engaged in his occupation, he industriously followed in pursuit, when, to his momentary confusion and astonishment, and his eyes looked for the first time upon one of those magnificent giants that have since become so famous throughout the world. All thoughts of hunting or bear pursuing were forgotten or absorbed and lost in the surprising admiration which he felt. Surely, he mused, it must be a dream, but no, the great realities were before him. Filled with thoughts inspired by what he had seen, he returned to camp and there related the story of the wonders he had discovered. His companions laughed and doubted his usually reliable veracity. He reaffirmed his statement, but still they would not believe it to be true. nor would they consent to accompany him, thinking that he was about to perpetrate some practical 1st of April joke upon them. Of course, we know that he tricked them, saying that there was a giant bear out there and they would see it, but they too, that was the beginning of, you might say, the end of the Giants of California. And they actually named these giant, beautiful trees before they cut them down. And after walking through one of these groves, one of the speakers says, "But with our lunch over, let us first walk upon the, quote, big tree stump adjoining the cottage. You see, it is perfectly smooth, sound, and level. Upon this stump, however, incredible it may seem, on the 4th of July, 32 persons were engaged in dancing 4 sets of cotillions at one time, without suffering any inconvenience whatsoever. And besides these, there were musicians and lookers-on. Across the solid wood of this stump, 5.5 feet from the ground. Now the bark is removed, which was from 15 to 18 inches in thickness. It measures 25 feet, and with the bark, 28 feet. Think for a moment. The stump of a tree exceeding 9 yards in diameter, and sound to the very center. This tree employed 5 men for 25 days in falling it, not by chopping it down, but by boring it off with pump augers. After the stem was fairly severed from the stump, the uprightness of the tree and the breadth of its base sustained it from falling over. To accomplish this, about 2.5 days of the 25 were spent in inserting wedges and then driving them in with the butts of trees until at last the noble monarch of the forest was forced to tremble and then to fall after braving, quote, the battle of the breeze of nearly 3,000 winters. In our estimation, it was a sacrilegious act. Oh, although it is possible that the exhibition of the bark among the unbelievers of the eastern part of the continent Europe may have convinced all the Thomases living that we have great facts in California that must be believed sooner or later. This is the only palliating consideration with us in this act of desecration. They're talking about saving trees back in those days. I mean, they gave them names like the Mother of the Forest. Why, in the summer of 1854, the bark was stripped from this tree by Mr. George Gale for the purpose of exhibition in the east to the height of, he cut out, 116 feet up. And now measures in the circumference without the bark at the base, 84 feet, 20 feet from the base. I mean, there are other trees. Hercules was one, the father of the forest. Oh, the three graces, the old maid, the old bachelor, Uncle Tom's cabin, the pride of the forest, the beauty of the forest. Oh, on and on, how wonderful and how great we were. And one of the last subjects that I ran across in this wonderful history of early California settling was about the California natives and the attitudes which we had at that time. Now, by those who are best informed concerning them, the Native Americans, an opinion has been expressed that since the discovery of gold, the Indians in this state have been almost decimated. as unfortunately they have cultivated all the vices and become possessed of many of the diseases without practicing any of the virtues of the whites. Lewdness and liquor have been the destroying angels of the race, and the cause, with but one or two exceptions, of all the Indians' wars that have been known here. It's all about that. Now, we speak not at random, however. Much it's to be deplored, for we have the facts before us. And with all their failings, why, it cannot be denied that the California Indians are an interesting people. Their appearance, even next to the feeling of pity or disgust, is provocative of mirth. Who, for instance, who can meet an Indian in the public street or by the wayside, habited as he generally is in the cast-off garments of the whites, without a smile of mirth, imperceptibly stealing across the continents? Perhaps his brawny and chocolate-covered body is covered with a solitary white shirt, or chemise, as they are not very particular, and his matted and heavy black hair is surmounted by a somewhat dilapidated, though fashionably built hat. These two articles constituting his full dress, and clad in a greasy old silk dress or dirty cotton gown, by his side walks his squaw, an equally interesting object with himself, to whose face and arms soap and water appear to have long been alienated. Then, to cap the climax of the picture, a youthful scion of the pair, who is a subject of equal cleanliness with his mother, and dressed like his father, minus the hat and shirt, carries a miniature bow and arrow. Who can witness such a sight, even though they pity and resist a smile? Wow. Well, I don't know, folks. I wonder why they're kind of like that right now. But that was then, of course, and times really have changed quite a bit. Now, before the influx of the whites, the Indians live principally on acorns and roots and weed and flower seeds and clover and gnats and wild greens and sap of the white pine, mushrooms and grasshoppers and rabbits and rats and squirrels and fish and sometimes antelope or deer or anything else that could be easily obtained. But since the discovery of gold, they will linger around cabins and slaughterhouses for any refuse they can find. Although they manifest no objections whatsoever to a well-cooked meal of vegetables and meat or any scraps they can collect from the white man's table. Oh, wonderful. And lastly, a little bit about our own Clear Lake right up here in Mendocino in Lake County. Clear Lake, oh, this beautiful alpine sheet of water overshadowed and hidden, so to speak, surrounded by peaks of the Coast County. It's one of the many inviting localities of our state and deserves, as it is destined to be, far better known than it is at present, of course. That's Clear Lake. We know how it is today, don't we, folks? Yes. And there were some Indians that lived around Clear Lake. Yes, it was a Bloody Island massacre, I think, occurred out there. I'm not sure, but I think it could have been. And I would like to say a little bit about this valley. The peculiar sinuous shoreline gives rise to numerous little bays and harbors where the light canoes of the Indians are anchored when their dusky owners rest from their work of catching fish or killing wildfowl, with which the water abounds. Several beautiful little islands, elevated but a few feet above the water, shaded with broad-spreading evergreen oaks of the extent of from 1 to 15 acres add much to the picturesque effect. To these secluded spots, the Indians of the neighboring valleys have retreated, and the wreck of a tribe, but just a few years ago, was counted by the thousands, now finds ample room for its diminished numbers on these isolated specks of land. They are harmless and inoffensive people and seem to have no difficulty with the whites. They live abundantly on fish and fowl, and the only dread they seem to have is that they may be forced to go to some government reservation. Oh, that's from Scenes of Wonder and Curiosity, California. James Mason Hutchings, the father of Yosemite, his magazine brings some of that stuff to mind. And I'm going to pick up my other guitar today. Hello, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while. And the result of that is this particular song. How the old 49ers, they used to sigh if you spoke in praise of the wildflowers around the bay. For they rode the same districts when there were no roads between San Francisco and San Jose, where their horses wallowed and galloped through oceans of floral splendor. California, California, the glory is now over. Oh, the silver salmon swam in all clear streams and could be speared with ease by wading to your knees in search of treasure. Excuse, men gathered round, sluiced the rivers brown for the gold they found. And the Sacramento River became a last stronghold where the fish were hunted just like the gold. California, California, oh, the glory is now over. And in 1850, a man could not believe his eyes when he saw the mammoth trees reaching to the skies with names like guardian and mother and son. Cutting was soon begun to prove their size to everyone. And at last, the noble monarch of the forest to tremble and to fall. Oh, California, California, the glory is now over. The Clear Lake Indians, once a very large band, were reduced to few before they found room to live on the fish and the waterfowl around the islands and the lake's lagoon. All the only dread they seemed to have was that they would be sent away from their land. California, California, all the glory is now over. The old 49ers, they used to sigh if you spoke in praise of the wildflowers around the bay. Or they rode the same districts when there were no roads between San Francisco and San Jose. Ooh, yeah. I wonder if you could see any, might see a few lupins along the freeway that were planted by Caltrans. Poppies are still around. Oh, what a paradise California must have been. This is KLLG LP 97.9 FM, right up here in Willits. And you are on the Bipolar Express, hearing all about our wonderful state. Now, just picture endlessly, just deep, clear water teeming with silvery fresh fish and giant trees and acres of spring flowers and, oh, the natives living harmoniously on the land for thousands and thousands of years. Keep that in mind as you ride along the Bipolar Express. Whee! You know, a friend of mine was reciting this poem. Reciting this particular poem while we were drinking beer. It was late in the afternoon. I think it was at least 2:30. And but I went, oh, yes, I remember that one. And it kind of reminds me of 12 wonder. This is perfect. Kind of reminds me of what we've been reading about, the past. I mean, even though Robert Service was born in 1871 and he passed away in 1958, but he kind of writes about, oh, that kind of writing that came out of that period. And this is called The Cremation of Sam McGee. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was the night that on the marge of Lake LaBarge, I cremated Sam McGee. Now Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the South to roam round the pole, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell. Though he'd often say in his homely way that he'd sooner live in hell. Well, on a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of your cold! Whew! Through the Parker's fold, it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd close, then the lashes froze till sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, as we lay packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed and the stars o'erhead were dancing heel and toe, he turned to me and, "Cap," he says, "I'll cash in this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking that you won't refuse my last request." Well, he seemed so low that I couldn't say no. Then he says with a sort of moan, "Ugh, it's the cursed cold, and it's got right hold till I'm chilled clean through to the bone. Yet 'tain't being dead. It's my awful dread of the icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that, foul or fair, you'll cremate my last remains." Well,
A pal's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And we started on at the streak of dawn. But God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh, and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee. And before nightfall, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried, horror-driven, with a corpse half-hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, "You may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains." Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, in my heart how I cursed that load. In the long, long night, by the fire, lone fire light, while huskies, round in a ring, howled out their woes to the homeless snows. Oh God, how I loathe the thing! And every day that quiet clay seemed to heavy and heavier grow. And on I went though the dogs were spent and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad and I felt half mad, but I swore I would not give in. And I'd often sing to the hateful thing, and it hearkened with a grin. Till I came to the marge of Lake Lebarge, and a derelict there lay. It was jammed in the ice, but I saw in a trice it was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought a bit, and I looked at my frozen chum. Then, "Here," I said, with a sudden cry, "is my crematorium! Oh!" Some planks I tore from the cabin floor, and I lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around, and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames just soared, and the furnace roared, and such a blaze you seldom see. And I burrowed a hole in the glowing cold, and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. And the heavens scowled, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. Oh, it was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks. I don't know why. And the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out, and they danced about here again, and I ventured near. I was sick and with dread, but I bravely said, "I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked." And then the door I opened wide, and there sat Sam, looking cool and calm in the heat of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile you could see a mile and said, "Please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm." "Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm." There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake Lebarge I cremated Sam McGee. Is that a story or what? Whoa! Hey, have we noticed any snow lately? I hear it's getting pretty cold lately, folks. We might get a little bit, you know. Fun riding on the BPE. Now, snow with the rain. Oh, if you're driving down some lonesome highway, it kind of makes you miss someone. And, well, here's a tune that makes me feel just like that.
falling with the rain. I saw your face the other day in a frame, reminding me of you. Snow falling with the rain. Flying free, snow falling with the rain. Snow falling with the rain. I saw your face the other day in the trees, birds flying free, snow falling with the rain. Get some of that snow this winter, and it sure is raining. Hey, I hope you are feeling free and flying and warm and in your mind in fantasy land. It's okay to dance out there. I'm there right now. Oh yes, dancing in, you know where, land? Fantasy land. You know, I hear there's a local lights this Sunday, 2 to 5 at the Willits Arts Center, Community for the Arts. Let me see, is there anything else I can think of? Oh, there was something else, but it's slipping my mind. Oh, yeah, I think at the brewery this Friday is Wolf Tree. This is a special single singer to bring some entertainment down there. And so those are all I know about now. Let me know, and I'll mention it on the radio. But, hey, I want you to all feel a little bit of that love out there, folks. I'll leave you with this. Oh, yes. Good things are happening. They are. Somewhere. So, love your sister. And love your brother. Love your father and love your mother. Whoa! And be rolling with the flowing, growing in your heart. And though you're broken, stay open to love, be always hoping, and rolling with the flowing, growing in your heart. Yeah, this is Greg Schindel. Been riding along with the Bipolar Express. And we've been hearing a little bit of California history when we were great. I hope you're great right now, because you've been riding on the Bipolar Express. Bipolar Express. On KLLG LP 97.9 FM radio, radio. I said KLLG LP 97.9 FM Willits, California. Hey, Mike. Maybe I'll see you next week. Hey, have a great day, you guys. Great evening, too.